can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, Don. Now, we have spoken often, not often, but we've spoken about injuries and wellness and fitness, and we've had Mark Brayshaw on here some months ago, last year, about the medical marijuana industry, which is... all the rage and seems to be getting a foothold into alternative forms of pain.
Is it getting a foothold?
Well, it is.
Okay.
It is, overseas and here.
Because I'm interested in this.
Well, how fortunate, Don, because we've got a bloke in here, a doctor, to speak about it, and I'm going to tell you who this is. His name is Dr. James Stewart. And let me read out what it says about him on our machine that we get our information from. Dr. James Stewart is one of Australia's leading medicinal cannabis prescribers. Dr. James, that's what it says here, always takes an holistic approach. Do you know what that means? Holistic? Do you know what that means, Don?
Don't look at me
with those blank, vacant eyes.
I'm struggling.
Well, holistic means an overall approach to wellness, I presume. He'll tell us if that's right or not. And individually tailors his treatments to each patient. He is a true believer in focusing on overall health and always promotes a healthy lifestyle as the key. Hydration, exercise and mindfulness. Mindfulness.
What does he mean by that, do you think?
Did he write
this himself?
I'm not sure. We can ask him all those questions. Are at the forefront of his patient management and engagement with them. When Dr. James isn't helping his patients, you could find him exercising around the city, watching sport and spending spare time with his wife and his son. So this is who he is. I've had indirect dealings, direct dealings with the doctor, because I went and got some prescription for a certain type of medical marijuana, not the one that I zonked myself out.
Hang on, I was just going to say, you went a bit haywire, didn't you, a couple of weeks ago?
I did,
ago.
Because I took the wrong... there's two sorts, and he'll tell us what they are. So Dr. James Stewart, welcome. Well, thank you very much. Now, just you are, it says, at the forefront, one of Australia's leading medical prescribers of medical marijuana. Just how does that work, Doc?
So, I've been prescribing...
Did I get any of what I said right, anyhow?
I sort of wrote a bit of that, and then my wife corrected where my grammar and everything went wrong. So, I've been prescribing medicinal cannabis now for about 2.5 years, and have now solely...
Why did you go into it?
So, back in sort of what I call traditional GP land, your GPs that prescribe what we learn through medical school and that kind of thing.
I'm really sorry about this. I'm very sorry, Don. I'm sorry. Just speak again, please.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Speak again.
G'day. Dr. James here. How's it going?
That's
check one,
right.
Mic
sorry,
two.
Yep, that's
check,
right. It
check,
is now.
We're away.
We're right.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Good.
You.
All right.
I don't know. People say, stop telling people to speak into the microphone. But
is that better?
I just looked at these bars and that didn't seem to. I'm not sure if I had it turned up. Go ahead, Doc.
All right.
Sorry.
All righty. So yeah.
Listen.
Back in.
What's that, Don?
Start it again.
Start again.
Yes.
Why would we start again?
Because you fucked it up.
Don, this is an informal chat. It's all right. I'm not going through all that again. Please go ahead, Doc.
Sure. So in traditional GP land where we prescribe, your standard medications like Nurofen and painkillers and antidepressants and that kind of thing, often that they will give you some benefit, but a lot of the time they also come with added side effects. So what I found, I prescribed my first medicinal cannabis product 2.5 years ago for a lady that needed help with sleep. She tried all the traditional ones that we prescribe, so your sleeping pills, blah, blah, blah. They weren't working. And the very first night I prescribed the medicinal cannabis, she came back in and was nearly on her knees thanking me, like, you know, praising my work. So from there, I just learned a bit more and prescribed a little bit more, and it was clear after 5 or 6 patients that there was something magical about this product and that it was helping conditions that hadn't been sort of helped before previously.
Does the body build up a tolerance? You mentioned about the, well, I suppose the traditional medicines and remedies.
Yep.
And your body does build up a bit of a tolerance to those, so you've got to take a little bit more to get the effect that you got initially.
Yeah.
Now, with this cannabis, does your body become adjusted to it and you've then got to take more?
No, so that's the added benefit, is it's one of the only medications that we can actually step down once we've got you to a level. So specifically within cannabis, we've got the two molecules, THC and CBD. THC is the one that Sam did a bit of a mischief with himself the other day on the golf course. He had too much THC. Now, that's the one.
Now, hang on. Is that the one if you smoke it?
Yes. That's the one that's in the plant. So the one that gets you high, so to speak, that the, you know.
So what – am I able to ask why that is in a medicinal form if it's got that that effect?
Yeah, sure. So you do get benefit from it. So it is a fantastic, I guess, relaxant, also has added benefits of pain relief, and at a controlled and low enough level, you won't get high off it. It's only at higher levels that you get high from it. So we can remove that unwanted effects of the highness and the stone and that kind of thing, and use it at a medicinal strength as well.
So what is the difference between the two types of marijuana that you are prescribing?
Yeah. CDC and THC.
CBD and THC,
or
yes.
CBD,
yeah, so cannabidiol and tetrahydrocannabinoid. So THC is the one that makes you stoned, the one that's famous, the one that has all the, the fear built up around it through the Reefer Madness campaign, the war on drugs in the States and all that kind of thing. CBD, on the other hand, has none of that psychotropic effect. So you don't feel stoned. And it in fact actually gives you really good relief with anxiety, but not stoned, that kind of thing. And it also circulates through your body and looks for where there's trauma or where there's something out of whack. So it's an amazing anti-inflammatory as well. So you get it on board and it will just circulate through the body and look for things that it can fix without making you stoned.
So, and what about the other? Okay, that's fine. Yep. But you haven't told me the differences between the two of them. Why would you prescribe one and not the other?
Okay, yes. So with a THC, I would use that for conditions such as trying to help someone sleep. So where I want them to feel nice and relaxed and induce a bit of sort of sedation and that kind of thing, I can bring on a little bit of THC, and that can be in the form of an oil, or if the person would prefer to smoke, they can smoke it.
What, the liquid?
No, the flower. I can actually prescribe like the buds, like the actual marijuana leaf, the cannabis leaf. I can prescribe.
But hang on, mate. Hang on. You're getting. I am now confused because I thought this would have to go under a process to reduce that. Not psychedelic, but effect. But that'd be present in the bud that you gave me because it hasn't been adulterated.
So it would be present at a lower dose. So the stuff that people get on the streets is generally super high THC, like very, very high strength hydro stuff that's grown in garages. They pump it up to get it as strong as they can, and that will give you the, you know, the unwanted effects of being too high. The flower I can prescribe comes in all different strengths. So I can start someone off on a very low strength flower that they smoke, and that will just give them a nice relaxing effect.
But so, Doc, this is what the chat and the skepticism in the States, America, is that this is just nothing more than a legalized way to get drugs and smoke joints under the guise of medicinal marijuana.
Yeah.
And this is the problem that you're having with the THC. Not you're not having, but and it's become a rort, hasn't it?
What do you mean a rort?
People are exploiting the fact that there's shops opening up that are just selling nothing more than marijuana to make joints with.
I wouldn't say
under the name of medical marijuana.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that they're rorting it, because if someone just wants to get high, they're not going to come to me and pay my fees, and they're not going to pay for the expensive cannabis.
No, please, I'm not. This is not directed at you. I watch this in the States, and they. they have shops opened up and people just go in and buy joints on the basis that this is a, they've got a prescription for it, and it's become rampant, hasn't it, over there?
Yeah, it has become rampant. But those people that are using it are most likely getting a medicinal effect from it. So in terms of if someone has bad anxiety and things like that, or has issues sleeping, they will go and go to one of those shops and get some cannabis to smoke prior to bed rather than having a temazepam, which is addictive, yep. You know, a benzodiazepine, something like that. So there is elements, and the states have gone recreational as well, where a lot of the states over there, you can just go into the shop and use it recreationally.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you're not just you're not just speaking about this. You do it yourself. You correct. Take it.
Yes.
Did we mention that before?
No.
You take it. You've embarked on the program yourself,
yes,
and you
I have.
Say you've never felt better, do you, or are you
I
just
feel
saying
amazing.
That for the sake of the
No, definitely. So I've suffered from really bad anxiety. I had drinking issues, these type of things. I was medicated the traditional way with antidepressants, sleeping pills, these type of things. And since discovering medicinal cannabis, which is another reason why I've gone solely doing it, it's because of the benefits I've got. I've stepped off all the anti-anxiety medication. I no longer drink. So I guess with respect to is it recreational and someone using it as a drug, my argument to that would be, what's better in the afternoon? Someone, say a tradie, for example, who has worked all day, they come home, they've got back pain, they're worried about work, they're going to have issues sleeping. Are they better off having a puff on a vape, which I recommend rather than a joint, we can get to that later, which is healthier, or are they better off having six beers? We're happily to accept them to have six beers when they get home.
Yeah, but hang on. Okay. Well, I wouldn't prescribe six beers if you've got backache or you've been on a hard day's work.
No. But that's how someone would self-medicate themselves, is they would come home and have a beer, you know, and everyone comes home and unwinds with a couple of beers at night, or half a you know, bottle of wine, that kind of thing. Is that better than having some oil, some mixed CBD THC oil, which will just make you nice and relaxed.
What do you do? Have you got a dropper and you just take so much out of the bottle and put it on your tongue?
Yep. And that way, when I speak to someone about that, I give them a clear guide on slowly increasing the dose. So the sort of mantra is we start low and go slow, and I find that dose where they get some benefit with unwanted side
effects. How long have you got to wait till there's benefit?
How long's a piece of string? Everybody's different. So I have to find
that
dice.
So it comes back to your metabolism, in other words.
Yeah, it can. Yeah.
So you've prescribed CBD.
C100, 11 Health C100, yes.
Hang on, which one's that, John?
That's the one without the toxicity in it.
Right.
Or not without
the... What do you say toxicity? Without THC?
Well, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Because I did say to you, and I told Don, we did it on the podcast by mistake. I ran out of the stuff you'd prescribed me, and I went to my backup thing, which I'd got, which had the THC in it, and I quite openly said I took it, went down to play golf, and I suddenly got out of the car, and I was actually stoned.
Yeah.
And I didn't drive home. I did drive home. I didn't realise. So anyhow... So I think it has done me good. It's very hard to quantify if it does you good or not, but it's
like it's done you good in what way? What was your problem?
Well, it's the placebo effect.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What's your problem?
Well, I'm just about to tell you. I couldn't close my fingers. They used to jam shut or open, you know. So you
really?
Yeah, get arthritis in them. And since I've been taking it, I can open and shut my fingers.
What about your ankles?
So that's. I'm just telling you about.
Okay. Well, I'm questioning. Don't be so. Okay. What
fuck
else?
Fuck me. I'm telling you, Don. Fuck you. I'm telling you. I could shut my fingers now that I've taken it. And if you want to ask me about my ankle, I'm getting onto my ankle. But let's just cover the fingers first. I think it's done me good there, and I'm putting it down to the fact that I'm taking the oil that I can shut my fingers. As for my ankle, Don. My ankle is sore, and I'm not sure if that is a surgical procedure that the doctor has done on my ankle and put bolts and stuff in it. I'm not sure how that would stop it hurting. Mm. Maybe it's too dramatic for it to stop it hurting. I don't know.
What about back? Have you got any other complaints? Shoulder?
Have I got some...
Yeah, well, come on, tell us.
No, I'm... I think it's doing me good. And yeah, I'm
what about your shoulder, your back?
Well, I pulled a muscle in my shoulder and I had a cortisone injection in that and I had my ribs broken, the golf ball hit it. So all that stuff, it's an overall holistic approach to it all. Yeah. I'm putting it down to the fact, and I'm quite happy to say I think it's doing me good because I can. My fingers were a problem and since I've been taking it, I can do that. So I want to know if I... You cannot drive your car if you take the THC, because seriously, if I'd been pulled up driving my car, I just was out of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know why. If I'd known why, I thought it was something I ate. And when I got home, I traced what I had done that day, and then I looked at the two bottles and I realised they were different. And I thought I'd been taking the one with the CBD in it.
Mm.
So it was a genuine mistake. I shouldn't have been driving. And but I did.
Yeah.
So that's the problem, isn't it? That you, if you have to tell people who get the THC one, that you can be sprung.
Yeah, that is an issue at the moment, and we're working hard to try and get it allowed to you're allowed to drive with a small amount of THC in your system, because a small amount or leftover THC in your saliva from the night before. So if someone has used THC to help them get to sleep, if there is a very small amount in their saliva the next morning, they're not going to be intoxicated, inebriated. They'll be perfectly fine to drive a car. They won't even know that there's THC on board. But they'll
test positive.
But they would test positive. Yeah. So the police at the moment only have a way to test yes or no if it's in your system. We don't have a way like a breathalyzer to say, you know, one beer, two beers is fine. They don't have a way to realize to
and
work
how long
out a level.
Does it stay in your system?
So I usually say if you have THC, you shouldn't drive for 9 hours, 8 to 9 hours, and then it will be classified as inactive. So it won't be active in your body, and it won't be in your saliva. So if it is, if you do test positive with the saliva, the police deem it that you've had high strength THC within the 9 hours, and therefore you're likely to be stoned or unable to drive the car. So yeah.
So what happens if someone has actually had a joint?
That's they shouldn't drive. And then if they get pulled over,
and
that's their fault.
If they get pulled over within 9 hours and they say, the cop and police say, you've tested positive for marijuana. So, oh, no, well, I've had some medical marijuana, and and they just bullshit. And they've actually had a joint. How do they demonstrate to the police? Or how do the police say, well, show us some evidence that you've had that or not?
So the police would then, if they do test positive for THC and it's, you know, and they are clearly stoned or something like that, then the police will charge them. And more often than not, the police will charge anyway, because the current rules say if it tests positive, you're gone.
But you can take a doctor's certificate.
You can take a doctor's certificate, and that can sway the police officers a little bit. Like I always tell my patients to take, you know, the ones that I use THC for at night time, I say, take a photo of your label that has your name on it, my authority and the pharmacy on there, and show the police in the morning, you know, or if you ever got swabbed, that it is prescribed medicinally. Now, I've had 4 of my patients have tested positive for THC, and 2 got let off and 2 got charged. The 2 that got charged, they were younger guys. It was a Saturday night. I have no doubt they were doing the wrong thing. And I've told them that.
Oh, really?
Yep. The 2 that got let off were elderly patients in the morning, and they showed the officer and said, I'm prescribed this to help me sleep, and the officer let them off.
So you could also run the risk of, like you said, you gave it in good faith to 2 younger people, but they took advantage of the situation.
Yes. Yep.
So they did exactly as Don's saying, that they pretended. They'd been smoking joints, do you think?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, they smoked joints, not the...
It wasn't the oil. These guys were prescribed a flower for nighttime. So, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so I have no doubt that they probably did what they shouldn't be told. But I can't control what a person does. If they got fined, then that's their fault. That's not what I do.
So it's a huge industry that's starting to... burgeoning industry that's starting, and there's... plenty of pros and cons about it. Yep. And I suppose the traditional doctors say, oh, no, it's a bit of a furphy or this. And the people who are enlightened, a bit like yourself, say, no, this is the way to go. So how big is the industry potentially? Is it taking strength in the community, or are people still sceptical of it?
No, it's definitely taking strength. So the traditional doctors can no longer deny the benefit the patients are getting. There's too much evidence, too many patients that are reporting amazing results from cannabis. So I'll get a patient who will come to me, they're at their wit's end with pain or sleep, they're on a mountain of medications from their GP. I will treat them, and then over time I just can slowly step them off their antidepressant medication, their sleeping pill, blah blah blah, and they go back to the doctor and say, hey, this oil I'm on, it's fixing everything. I've stepped off these medications. And that is just happening more and more, that doctors can no longer now say it doesn't work, because it definitely does. I've got nearly, 1,000, 1,500 patients, and all of them are getting benefit. I get someone every day telling me that I have changed their life. They thank me, they're in tears, and no one ever does that in GP land. You never get thanked. People just come in, get their script, complain, and you're kind of limited to what you do. You can tell them as many, many things that they want to do, but they won't, improve other aspects of their life. They just want something they can take, get them on some cannabis, some oil, and things are happening. And it just amazes me every day the benefits that people are getting.
How do you safeguard, and I suppose this might be out of your field, it's grown. How do you safeguard that from the growing to the bottle to the end use? Is it licensed? Yeah. Are people licensed to grow this stuff?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So just last week I went out to the Green Farmers Farm, which is in Shepparton, and they grow cannabis for other companies. So they don't sell their own product. They grow the plant for other companies. I went out there and, always still in the back of my mind, even though I've been doing this for so long, there's this little thought that still – this is all just a bit of a drug,
excuse to grow weed.
And in my mind, I thought, okay, they've probably got a bunch of people out in the farm with dreadlocks, just growing a bit, putting a bit in their pocket. That was in my back of my mind. Oh, does this happen? We went out there. It was the most high security place.
I was just going to say, you'd have to have a fence around,
wouldn't
you?
Holy moly, this big electric fence. We went in. This is grown in a greenhouse, and it was so professional, so clinical, like what you would expect in any pharmaceutical laboratory. It was very, very, very structured. Everyone knew their job. There was all different types of people working there, the ladies, there was, all different types of people. And the process from growing the plant from sort of start to finish was, it blew me away how...
Do they produce the oil there?
They don't. No, they just do the flower range. Other places.
And do they grow it outside or indoors?
No, this one is an indoor farm in an open roof greenhouse. So by that I mean light can come through, because you want light is the key to, determining the stage of life that the cannabis plant is in. So they can control what stage the plant is in by how much light they put on those plants.
So it's not dissimilar to the companies that grow poppies for the use of heroin.
Yes.
And
opium.
Opium. And I know there's places in Tasmania.
Tassie's the number one place in the world.
And people would say, oh, yeah, well, that's open to rorting and making heroin or opium out of it. But that's very seriously regulated.
Yeah, I've never seen the opium one. But if I go off, if it's similar to what I saw the other week, it's just, it's amazing. It got rid of any last thought I had that this industry is a bit of a way to prescribe cannabis.
So just get me back to this, the practicalities of it, because somebody mentioned to me years ago about going into it, and I thought, oh, geez, high security. So they go around, do they pick the bush like they do tea, for example, over an Indian salon? Do they pick the top buds? What do they pass it up, bale it up, and send it to a pressing mill, and then... By pressing it, you'd get the liquid or the oil or whatever else out of that? Yeah, or is it the whole bush that is processed?
So they take, for the flower to smoke, you want the buds. That's where all the cannabinoids, all the THC, CBD, all the other minor cannabinoids is in the bud of the plant, not the leaf. So the way that they get the same strain, the same medicine happening each harvest is they have a mother plant. And they have a room for the mother plants, and they take trimmings off the mother plant to create the baby plants.
What do you mean, grafting or...?
just like pruning, pick off a branch, and then they bring the branch down into smaller amounts, and then just plant one stem into a cup with soil that goes into these rooms, and they stay there to start to mature. And then after, I think it's 4 weeks or something, they say, which are the healthier ones, which are the bad ones? Take the healthy ones, take them out into the green room, and then just start feeding them full of light, feeding them full of nourishment and fertilizer, that kind of thing. And then they grow, slowly grow, then they move them to the high light section where they get them to bud, and then they get the plant, take it into the trimming room, and they get out all the buds off the plant and let the rest, the stem and the leaf, go through, and that can then be used for the oils and dirt, certain other things, so fibers and things like that from the plant.
So are you embraced by traditional doctors, or do they tend to be sceptical of you and speak down about you, or do you have a good relationship with them, or is there a competition, a bit of competition between the traditional doctors and what you're embarking on?
Originally, so when I first started, it was it was seen as a bit of a gimmick, because we don't have the evidence or the research for it, because to do those massive studies that we need done to prove the evidence, that costs a lot of money, and that's normally sponsored by pharmaceutical companies. Now, the pharmaceutical companies can't patent a plant. You can't patent a natural product. So they can't just isolate a molecule or something and say, this is ours, we're going to prove this works, we're going to invest a lot of money in this for the research, let's do the big studies. They can't. So they're not paying for these studies.
So they're the opposition, in other words.
Yes. Yeah. So you've got companies like Levin Health, the product you're on, and other ones who are actually putting a bit of money forward to do some studies to prove to doctors, because as doctors, we're a funny bunch. Most of us want hard evidence. You know, we want practice evidence-based medicine. Until you show me the evidence that this works and it doesn't have side effects.
A bit like the COVID injections. We'd like some evidence that they actually are. Yeah. Genuinely work.
So early on, it was a bit of us versus them. A practice I was at, they weren't that happy on me prescribing cannabis to start off with, because they said, we don't want that type of person in here. And I came back and said, what do you mean, kids with epilepsy or oldies with arthritis? Why don't you want those in here? And he goes, no, you know what we mean. We're going to get the smokers out waiting for their cannabis. Mm-hmm. And I said, if they just want a cannabis to get high, they're not going to come to me and pay. They're not going to. It's expensive if you get the medicinal stuff compared to what you get on the street. Mm-hmm. So if someone just wants to,
are you ripping off then?
No, definitely not. That's how much it takes to manufacture these. As I said, it's a highly regulated growing process.
So I've got a little bottle here that I've. This is the second lot I've got from Astrid.
Astrid's one of the good pharmacy, there on Chapel good Street. Pharmacy.
Prescribe, and I go there to get it. And that costs,
That bottle's about $250.
Really? And how long would that last you?
About 3 months. So it's not that bad.
Shit.
No, that's not that bad.
3 months. That's if the little syringe doesn't break.
We've ordered new ones of those. Yeah.
Mate, I've broken three of those. Now, I actually just drink it out of the little thing now.
Don't do that.
No, because of the syringes.
I'll get you a syringe. You know what happened last time you took a swig of it?
Hang on. $250 for that. It's not under benefit.
FTSE, so benefit,
it excludes a lot of people then, doesn't it? Because of the mere factor, the cost of it.
It does, unfortunately. But if someone is finally getting benefit, someone who's been riddled with pain, riddled with arthritic pain, who's been prescribed prednisone or a steroid, or an anti-inflammatory who's getting guts, and they're not quite getting the benefit. If someone getting benefit from that, they're going to want to stay on it and they're going to try and find a way. If $250 for 3 months doesn't work out that much every day.
Well, I self-treat myself on all of those things. I don't do the prednisone because it's
it's a steroid.
Yeah, steroids. Yeah. I don't do that, but I do the others, tramadol and whatever else, which are opiates, and so on.
It's pretty. I've mentioned this to Don. Don wouldn't. It's pretty prohibitive. $250. I will do it. I don't think Don would do it at $250.
So what?
Throw.
Yeah. So what I would do with Don is then, I can organise a sample bottle or a smaller bottle, a 10 mil bottle, that will be a lot cheaper, and say to you, here we go, let's have a start on this. It'll cost you $60. have a start, and I would be that confident that you would get amazing benefits from it that you would come back and say, I want to stay on this.
Because you were skeptical. What's it going to cost? Dom, when you, I said, why don't you go and see
Well, all
the
of
doc?
Those things that you've mentioned today are symptoms that I suffer from, pain.
Yep.
And your advisor, your doctor friends said it was not to do it, didn't they?
Mm, they were very, because skeptical. They're traditional, yep. Very skeptical.
Yep. Yep.
What other, the other thing that fascinates me too, you probably call, would you call this a psychedelic drug or not?
No.
Are there drugs, okay, are there other drugs like mushrooms, for example,
yeah.
which give you, I should imagine, the same type of effect as this marijuana does? Are there any other drugs such as like a plant-based, like mushrooms, or that give you benefits such as this marijuana?
Yeah, so psychedelic. So the mushroom is a psychedelic. It doesn't do the same as cannabis. You would use mushroom therapy for treating someone's severe depression. It's more mental health issues where you would use a psychedelic.
Is it
for.
Being used for that?
There's current trials happening. So I'm part of a training program through Mind Medicine, doing a psychedelic assisted. Training pathway to be able to treat patients with severe depression and PTSD. So we're talking our war veterans, sex victims, all this kind of stuff that, you know, that the traditional medications just aren't going to work. You know, you can give someone lots and lots of antidepressants and it's not going to work. You can do electroconvulsive therapy where they shock someone's brainwaves.
Yeah.
You give them a psychedelic experience, which, you know, it's all very, very tightly monitored.
And
I don't just hand them some mushrooms and say, I'll see you tomorrow. Good luck.
Oh, so you don't... Okay, so what they're doing with the mushrooms, for example, is giving you mushrooms. They don't process it like they do the marijuana in this bottle.
No. And the mushrooms are still a fair way off that. It's, you know, it's not even... It's
are
not
there any other things... You've talked about this as a plant.
Yep.
You've talked about mushrooms. Yep. Are there any other things that they're using in alternative medicine in place of traditional medicine?
I'm sure there would be a lot of the Chinese, but I'm not across that. So my specialty is just cannabis, the cannabis plant.
Chinese medicine.
Yeah. So just a quick, an interesting fact on plant-based medicine and things like that. Up until around the 1940s, 50s, 60s, around there, plant medicine was a go-to around the world. Cannabis was one of the...
Up to what tide?
Up until about the 1960s, what happened was there was an introduction from pharmaceutical companies onto single molecule medications. So what that means is there's one molecule per medication, and they came across and said to doctors and medical schools, this medication, because it's a single molecule, is much more predictable and much more safer than plant medicine, because plant medicine's hundreds and thousands of molecules all working together to give you the overall effect, what we call the entourage effect. So you can't, they say it's totally unpredictable. We don't know what molecule is doing what. This single molecule is going to be safer and easier to predict.
What were the old plant?
Cannabis.
No, give me some, you said up to the whatever,
yeah.
the date.
Yep.
What were the plants that were being used, you know, yep. back in those times for medicine?
Yeah, so cannabis was actually the height and the mostly used medicine.
So they were using cannabis back then?
Yeah. The Queen's mother used cannabis to help with period pains and things like that. Back in the ancient Chinese history, all the ancient, what are they called? Civilizations, cannabis is always in the records there. So all of Chinese medicine comes from plants. And that just got pushed aside as a bit of hokum because you can't...
Okay, well, what other plants were used for medicine?
What other... So cocoa. Which was... So that's your cocaine. So that was a...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So where does it come from?
So any numbing agent.
Cocoa.
So any numbing agent.
It's a plant, is it?
Yeah, cocoa.
Cocoa plant.
Cocoa plant, yeah.
You mean cocoa?
Cocoa plant.
Yeah. It's not quite the chocolate one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm
ignorant. No, that's okay. So that's where all your anesthetics and numbing agents, lignocaine.
Really?
Yeah, that's all from the cocaine plant, where cocaine comes from.
I'll be bugging.
Yeah.
So keep going. So, what other plants
and then
are you?
Obviously you've got your poppies that produce your opioids.
They're an opiate, but they weren't
traditional. I don't know.
What's that for pain, isn't it?
That's your pain. That's your pain ones. But then, you know, you've got... And I'm not an expert in Chinese medicine, but you know, how all the civilization, how our indigenous culture survived was all on plants. They didn't have a pharmacy. You know, all these, you know, ancient civilization survived on plants, not medicine, not manufactured medicine.
This is my clear thinking question, Doc. If COCOA spells cocoa, what's BOOK spell?
BOOK. Book.
Book. Yes. You'd be amazed at the number of people say BOAC.
Oh.
COCOA spells cocoa. What's BOOK spell? Book.
Yeah.
Now, Doc.
Yes.
So I indirectly came to you because Mark Brayshaw has, in the process of starting a medical marijuana company.
So he's the CEO of Levin Health.
Levin, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So, and that takes quite a process to get it. You're not something you go out and just start overnight. So this is a work in progress. So there's a lot of companies, a number of companies now starting to get onto the medical marijuana bandwagon.
Yes.
And there's a few of them starting up in Australia, and he is one of them, is he not?
Yeah, no, there's a lot starting now. I think because everyone sees the potential for the benefits that patients can get, and comes with that is the potential to make money as well. When something is a good product, you know, companies are going to go, this is fantastic, let's get some money into this because it's going to catch on. And it will. You just have to have a look overseas at what's happening. Medicinal cannabis is thriving, and not the recreational side, not the abuse side, the benefit side that people are getting from medicinal cannabis is booming overseas.
I'm just reinforcing, there's no ill effects.
No. So with CBD... Okay, CBD is the non-psychotropic one. It's actually my go-to. So any patient that comes and sees me, I will always start them on a CBD product because it just gives you so much benefit with so many things. So anxiety, stress, Sam's fingers, that's no doubt is because of he would have had some arthritis in there and that the CBD is working to help that. It's so safe that I just say to people, I say the worst thing that can happen is you try one of the bottles and it doesn't work. It's not going to do anything nasty. It doesn't make my older patients fall over. It doesn't make them high. You know, it is so safe. CBD should be sold at the chemist. It should be sold over the counter because it is safer and better tolerated than Nurofen, ibuprofen, all antidepressants, all these things that people are taking. One simple medication can treat a lot of things.
So, Doc, you're a good-looking young man, rooster, and you're young compared to Don and I. And you said that you had a problem with anxiety and depression and drinking. Don't ask you too much about your business, but how did you get onto what was worry in your life that got you onto this?
I guess the stress of – so prior to becoming a doctor, I was actually a DJ. And I did experiment, I guess you could say, with a lot of different things, traveling around the world DJing and partying.
I see.
Then I guess drinking took off, and then...
Drug taking.
Yeah, you could say that.
Recreational drugs, stuff.
And so I did have a little bit of experience with cannabis growing up on the Gold Coast, surfing and smoking and that kind of thing.
Just before you were a doctor or while you were a doctor?
No, before I was a doctor. So I went back to medical school when I was 28.
I see.
So let's give me a bit of world experience. But I guess those years of partying, and then I guess you could say I had an early midlife crisis around 26, where I'm just like, what am I doing with my life? I can't keep partying and DJing. This is no good. And from there, and I guess from drug taking and alcohol, that kind of thing, is my anxiety just build up. I just couldn't, it'd come the afternoon and my anxiety would be that bad that I would get stuck into the booze. And then, I still was doing that going through med school with the added pressure of exams, and because it's hectic med school, it really is a lot of pressure. So I would go to the bottle, that kind of thing. Then I just, early on I thought medicinal cannabis needs to get into this medical field. And I've always sort of leant towards plant medicine a little bit, just as I'm that kind of doctor. And then keeping my eye on it overseas, I sort of saw that it was coming to Australia, and around 2016 is when sort of it all sort of started to happen. I just monitored the space. And then, like I said, once I got my first patient on it, it was away I went. And then I saw one of the other doctors and said, I think this will help me. At that time, I was still taking my antidepressants. I was still doing a bit of boozing, that kind of thing. And so I got someone to prescribe, a doctor. I went and had a consult with a doctor, got them to prescribe it for me, and game changer, absolute life changer.
Okay, so just the practicalities of it. John said he goes to Astrid.
Yes.
Are all pharmacies got
yes.
this All pharmacies. So
what they can do, they might not have it on stock. That's why pharmacies like Astrid, we call them green dispensaries. They are cannabis pharmacies. They hold a lot of the main products in stock, so you can go there and get it. What other pharmacies can do, and any pharmacy in Australia, they can order it. So you go in there and I need to send the pharmacy the authority to say that this patient has been approved by the Therapeutic Goods of Australia, the TGA, send them the paperwork, send them the script, and then that patient can go in there, the pharmacy orders it, and then a couple of days it'll be there. Or I can send it to Astrid or Ducasa's, also another one in High Street, and they can post it out to the patient. So no matter where you are in Australia, we can get the products to you.
So does marijuana, sorry, John, if you smoke, from what I've been told, if you smoke marijuana, mm-hmm. some people have a reaction to it. Mentally,
yes.
Our metabolism's different.
Yep.
Is that right or wrong?
Yeah, that's right. So just on marijuana, do you know where the term marijuana comes from?
No.
So it's a Spanish word for cannabis. So when early in the days when the Mexicans were coming through up the bottom of the from the States coming through, they would refer to it as marijuana. And then that is where the Nixon and the government jumped onto this marijuana is a crazy, you know, the devil's lettuce, this crazy substance that causes you psychotic. And that's where marijuana got its name. Whereas in the medical field, it's always been cannabis. And doctors over there didn't know that marijuana that was getting the scare campaign was the same as cannabis, because they just, we call it cannabis, we didn't know.
So some people, what I'm getting to here. Yep. Okay, so some people... I could probably smoke it and not have an effect. Yep. Yep. You smoke it and it does have an effect upon your personality and whatever else. Okay, yep. You're susceptible.
Yes.
If you are treated with this stuff that you're talking, in the bottle, can it have the same effect upon you as what marijuana smoking it?
Yeah, so it can.
To some people it's not advantageous.
To some people, it's not, and definitely the people who I'd never prescribe THC to, they can have CBD because it doesn't affect
How would you know it'd have that effect upon them too?
If they have a family history of any psychotic illnesses, so schizophrenia, these type of things, because what THC can do, it doesn't give you schizophrenia, it doesn't make you psychotic, it doesn't make you hear things or see things. Unless you're predisposed to get it, it can unmask it earlier. So if you've got a family trait of schizophrenia and you
have... Any other conditions?
No, the main ones, no, any psychotic conditions. So if you're predisposed to that, but having one toke on a joint or any THC can unmask that earlier. And so that person can. So I always make a person, I say, is there any history of this? And as long as they say no... then they can have...
Are there any other illnesses or something like schizophrenia you mentioned that preclude you from taking marijuana? No. Schizophrenia is the only one.
It's only the main one, yeah. I mean, there are some medications that it reacts with. So some medications that people have had organ transplants don't go that well with CBD. But in terms of medical conditions, no, it would just be those psychotic... And the way I would avoid that is... I start very low with THC. Like you said before, if we both had a puff of the same joint or the same amount of oil, I might, fall asleep or, have a horrible time and you might be okay. And that's just because you've responded differently. So what I would do then, I would never start us on that dose. If you came to see me and Sam came to see me, I would start you both on a very, very small amount. Measured, very, very small amount. And then what I do over the next 4 to 8 weeks is I give you a regime to follow to very slowly bump it up until you get benefit or a side effect. If you get a side effect and start feeling crummy, then you stop and go back to the previous one.
Okay. Now, this is expensive. Will it come down in price?
Yep.
And will it come under the...
PBS?
Yes.
Hopefully. So I thought back when I started, there was only probably two or three companies doing this. And I thought, okay, when more companies come into the market, this is going to drop the price. It hasn't. And so that proves to me that this is how much it costs. It's expensive to produce this product. So we
have. Or have they got together and said, we will produce it. There's only three of us doing it. we will sell it at this price, let's all stake at this price.
I thought that early on, but now you've got probably close to 100 companies.
Oh, really?
So there's no way that they all got together. So,
yeah,
so
it hasn't come down. I hope one day it will be on the PBS. I really do, because, you know, they've got things like your tramadol, all this kind of stuff. Exactly. They'll happily do that, but yes. This, you know, this one.
So this stuff you prescribed me, yes. the CBD.
Yes.
You said to take that at the start of the day,
yep.
Just a syringe, little
0.1 mil.
And then I think you said have a go at the end of the day too. Did you say that or not?
Yeah, I would have.
Because that's pretty expensive. That is $250, that little bottle there.
Yep.
And if you do that, that wouldn't last you 3 months, would it?
No. How much did that coffee cost that you got there sitting beside you?
$5.
Okay.
Yeah, go on.
So you add that up every day for a month?
Yeah.
$350. So 30 days, $150 a day on coffee, you know.
$150 a day.
$150 for the month.
Yep.
On coffee.
Yep.
That will last you 2 to 3 months for $250. So right, people
give up coffee for taking.
So
this.
People, yeah.
Yeah, because, no, yeah. Fair enough. No, yeah, no,
things
fair
like
enough.
That. So.
Sorry, can I ask you a question? You talk about pain before. What about sleeping? How are you sleeping since you've taken that stuff?
I haven't noticed any.
So difference. You still have a problem sleeping?
Oh no, I don't have a problem sleeping, but I haven't noticed any difference. I'm only saying
yep.
That my fingers.
Yep.
But I'm only just saying that I'm going to put it down to that, whether yep. I can quantify that or not. As from there, anything else going, I'm not sure that's yep. done. We might have that discussion off air. I'm not sure that anything else has been beneficial, but yep. you've got to. Give credit where it's due, if you think, and I think that has yeah. probably helped me.
Awesome. So if Sam came to me and said he was having sleep issues as well,
yep.
then I would have said, let's start you on some CBD. So CBD itself can help with sleep, not because it's a relaxant or a sedative, but it gives you some pain relief, and it also slows the mind down a little yeah. bit in terms of makes you more relaxed. So when you go to bed, you're a bit more comfortable yeah. and your mind is a little bit more settled.
So you take that at night.
And that way, no, you just have it through the day, because CBD lasts, you know, you just put in your body and it just ticks over. So, but if that didn't work, like Sam's saying, now it's not working,
THC,
I would say,
mate,
let's go a little bit of THC and see if that helps.
Now, look, Don,
This is fascinating.
It is fascinating.
I want to do a trial with you too, Don. I want to see, get you started.
This sounds like it's a
if it works, geez, there's an open market. The number of guys, mixed with ex-blokes that played football.
Yes.
Shit, they're all in yep. pain. Well, unbelievable.
This is why I started.
I said to a traditional doctor, why don't you go into pain management, you know?
Yep.
No, I know, too hard. But Jesus, if you could conquer something here.
Yeah.
This is how this started. Mark Brayshaw rang me and said, do you have any trouble with football injuries? I said, do I have trouble? So this is exactly how this started. So I've dipped a toe in the water and I'll keep doing it until I can't afford it. And
how long do you think that'll be?
Not long. It's been an interesting discussion. Sounds like it's we're giving a free ad for it, but we're not at all. We're not giving an ad.
This is fascinating.
No, it is. And
no way am I saying go out and get some cannabis off the dodgy bloke, you know, on the end of the street. You know, come and see a trained specialist in this, and it's all about dosing it correctly, finding the right combination to get your benefit. So to avoid the side effects that you're talking about of, you know, feeling unwell, the room spinning, you know, if you've ever been back in the younger days, happen to, you know, have a cone or something like that at a party and the room spins around, you throw up and you've got to get in the shower. Any of those side effects are from too much of the product on board. So too much THC on board will do that. Too much CBD on board can make you a little bit anxious, a bit on edge, and that's why I always start very, very slowly. So it's important if someone does see go to a doctor and they say, this is your dose, that's what you're on from now on, that's not correct, because everybody responds differently.
Would a naturopath prescribe this?
Naturopaths can't prescribe it, no. You've got
why?
To be – because they can't.
That you've why? Got to be, I mean, it's, you've a got to, it's a natural thing.
Yeah, but it's regulated as a Schedule 4 and Schedule 8 medication through the TGA, through the medicine boards. So you have to be a medical doctor and have a license and then have approved access to prescribe these. So a naturopath isn't a registered medical doctor.
Now, Don, We would just say in finishing this, if you want to know anything more about Dr. James Stewart, you can just Google him and he'll tell you all about what he does and how he treats his patients. So that is a free
ad.
How
does he treat his patients?
Well,
I treat them very well.
It says here, tailored.
But that was his wife writing that biography.
You've missed the awards on there, Sam. Have a scroll down.
Jeez.
There we go. Look at that.
I haven't missed the awards.
Give us some awards. He's a self promoter.
I haven't missed the awards.
Well, give me a sort of an award.
Well, he won an award for Doctor of the Year, Industry Award from the Cannabis Industry Awards of Australia. He's the people's choice. I said, if you want to see about him without me reading the whole fucking shebang
Don't swear.
Google Dr. James Stewart, Stewart, and it's all on there. I read out a bit of who he is. And I'll continue to deal with you, Doc. No, I just need to give... I've run out of this stuff and I've got this standby of the THC if I want to zonk myself out again. That was one of
the
greatest
mistakes. Why did you get it in the first place?
Because Mark Brayshaw sent me along to the Levin... some clinic out in East Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea. They just said, why don't you try that? And when I ran out of that, I thought, oh, well, I've got a backup. And there we are. I made the fatal mistake of taking a syringe full of that, and I wound myself up into all sorts of trouble. Good trouble. So there we are. Good Don, now, have you got any other questions?
No, I thought it was fascinating.
Dr. James Stewart, thank you very much for coming in to You Cannot Be Serious. And... that's it. Any further announcements you'd like to make before we wind this up?
No. Thanks, good. Guys. It's been great, and I'll happily come back and have more of a chat if you like.
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you